Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in for another hour here on the Film Guy Network. What a time. What a time to be back in the studio. By the way, camera one's a little crooked. I noticed that the last couple days. I think one of the kiddos knocked one of the tripod legs.
No, we were roughhousing in here.
No, we were not.
Who won?
I'll let you make that
guess. He didn't want to talk about it, so that's up for interpretation right there.
Oh, no. Roughhousing connotes wrestling. I'm going to go low man. I'm going to go guy with some leverage background. I'm going to go with the mustache on the wrestling mat. You know, maybe we get into the ring. The length comes into equation. If we're just roughhousing inside the basement in mom's studio, I'm going to go with the low man over there.
Fair enough.
Fair? Yeah, it's a good scout right there. Good scout. What do we got loaded up for the local hour? By the way, make sure you hit that thumbs up button, like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. What do we got for the local hour? I heard it's loaded.
First thing we're going to circle back
Word to. Word on screen.
It is. We're going to circle back on Jackson Cantwell a little bit. We're going to talk about Miami from a Georgia perspective. Got a couple of wheel spins up there for you. Bill Connelly had an interesting comment about Georgia football. Going to project the freshman class wide receivers.
Mr. Connelly, is this another one, Georgia football dead? Is this another one of these guys?
Essentially, yeah.
Kind of.
It's a new trend.
It is.
Like, it's a good way to get clicks.
Well,
let's rank Georgia outside the top 10. Let's say the program's dead. Let's say Texas runs the conference. Let's just do whatever we got to do, baby. Off season. Get them clicks.
We certainly talked about that yesterday. This is more so kind of just some ignorance or some blindness to what Georgia has been doing and saying that Georgia doesn't do it at all.
Ignorance is bliss, baby.
Yeah. Continue on your breakdown, Kurt.
We're then going to give a top five of the top five most difficult players we think Georgia is going to face in the 2025 season. And then, of course, close it out with some more wheels.
Top five of top fives?
Yeah.
No, just top five players that we think. Top five, right?
Top five
hardest players Georgia will have to play against this
year. I think we're on to something, though. Everybody does top
five. Top five of top five?
We could do a top five of top fives.
That's very meta.
We broke the algorithm.
We're going to break the algorithm on that shit.
But no,
you think you're cool with Mount Rushmore? How about Mount Rushmore is Mount Rushmore? How about
even
them
better.
Apples? I don't know how that would work, but we'll figure it out.
But no, circling back to Cantwell, what is the next thing for Georgia here to do? Because obviously he was very highly.
I want to talk about that. So here is the key. Obviously, he was a five-star All-American. Everybody wanted some get Jackson Cantwell. Obviously, the price tag really, really high. We just got done talking about that. I do think there is a very – not to be all, oh, man, woe is me about these kids. We don't want to hurt kids' feelings. But I could imagine being recruited by Georgia and, let's say, being like Malachi Lee, right? Mm-hmm. And you're a five-star in your own right, baby. Like you're a dominant offensive tackle from Hawaii. And you think you might be going to Georgia or you might like Georgia. Maybe it's Michigan. Maybe it's whoever. Maybe you like USC, whatever. And then that school misses on another target and the entire media base is like, dang, missed out on Jackson Cantwell. What's Georgia got to settle on now? A 6'5", 310-pound freak athlete from Hawaii, and Malachi Lee's the next on their board. And he was right behind it or maybe even on par. So it's a really good football player who, by the way, like I know it probably wasn't pulling teeth to get Stacey Searles to go out to Hawaii, but you spent money going to see the kid. Like you spent money chartering a plane or sending a plane from Atlanta to Hawaii with Stacey Searles on it to go see a high school football player who, by the way, I don't even know if they have spring practice. I'm pretty sure it was just availability. So he probably just went and watched him, I don't know, squat and do whatever workouts the folks on the big islands do. Shaka, bro. You know? But this is a big name that, I wanted to, like, don't do the, oh, where's Georgia gotta settle now? Like, this kid's a great football player, too. Mm-hmm. And he's the next target, along with a bunch of in-state guys.
Yeah, we certainly talked about that during the national hour of, yes, Georgia just missed out on a highly talented football player that they would have liked to have, but there's some other talented football players that they're in the mix for the remainder of the class.
Hey, he on the board. He on the board. I'm a Chris Booker fiend, okay? I need me some Chris Booker, all right? I'm going to watch him if he goes to Alabama anyways, but might as well cover him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to push hard on that one. I think they're going to push hard on Malachi Lee. Big old offensive lineman out of IMG Academy I know that they like. There's a couple of in-state guys that they're still, you know, ciphering through as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of gets lost in translation of these highly profile recruits, of when it doesn't go your way and you don't land the top guy that everyone's talking about nationally, it automatically becomes, oh, they failed. They have to have a contingency plan now. They have to have a plan B. They have to settle for these guys, when that's not necessarily the case.
I will say this. You did just free up, like, worst case scenario, least amount of money possible, which I don't even think you were in the race at a million. Let's just call it a million. You freed up $1 million today.
Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about.
Freed up $1 million today. And I know y'all probably hit on that. Yeah. It's just obvious. And by the way, yeah. I've texted multiple sources inside the building about this over the last couple of days because I knew the price tag was getting outrageous. Had you landed him today, if you're Georgia, you're definitely out on Atkinson. Like, you're not even going to have enough to even get in the mix there. That thing's getting, you know what I mean? That's skyrocketing. I also think we're getting to a time period where the more and closer, I know y'all talked about Ross's tweet in the National Hour. You think that doesn't have agents going out here wilding right now?
Oh, sure.
The whole Deloitte actually going to have serviceable power? Like, I think the boys read it to you. If you don't remember, mm-hmm. Ross Dellinger said that 70% of collective payments will not go through with Deloitte. 90% of what they call real business money will go through. So, yeah, a lot of these agents are out here trying to get as much money as humanly possible right about now for their clients.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that's why you're seeing such inflated price tags for a lot of these recruits reportedly. So it makes sense.
It's so funny how the naivete that is sometimes out here in the coaching world. I'm talking to some coaches, D1 coaches, on the trailer today about Cantwell because it's a big story. And they're like, he's getting how much? And I said, Coach, do you know who his agent is? And they said, nah. I said, it's Drew Rosenhaus. And the guy turned around like, what the fuck is going on? What do you mean, Drew Rosenhaus? Like, A-Rod Drew Rosenhaus? I'm like, A-Rod Drew Rosenhaus. I'm like, he cooked. Cooked.
Miami alum himself.
Yeah.
So, what I was...
And by the way, that agent fee, as the real, that agent fee, probably 5%, probably 3%. Probably not trying to steal from Jackson, which is probably why it was important to get the most available out of that 3%.
My question about this, though, is that these players that are in this recruiting class that are going to transition into the Deloitte era of college football and the revenue sharing. So you get these deals now, but don't they kind of automatically get nixed in the future?
That's why it was so important that this contract get front loaded.
Okay.
That was the hang up. I mean, there was obviously a lot of money difference between what Georgia was offering, what Oregon was offering, what Miami was offering. But the year two salary amount wasn't drastically off. Like, Georgia was going to bump him up to probably like 1.7 in year two. And then at that point, real money starts to take place. But what if Deloitte's going to be there year two? Well, I better get as much money humanly possible in year one. Mm-hmm. I think that's what really played into effect here.
So you're kind of making a risk as well. Obviously, there's risk here by paying Jackson Cantwell because you, like, especially year one, because you have no idea what this athlete is ultimately going to turn out to be in college. But also, you're going to pay him in year one, and then if Deloitte comes into action in year two, it could be flipped to where he says, oh, I'm not here for just the money anymore. Well, let me go to Georgia. Let mm-hmm. me go be coached by the University of Georgia, and then I'll go to the NFL because the money isn't the biggest deal anymore because I can't get this large sum of money.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen players and teams get burned before on this. Like, Williams and Air is a perfect example of this, how last year, you know, you had Eli Drinkwitz jumping into another man's arms because you committed to it. Didn't really play, shut it down basically after an injury, and then said, I'm going to hit the transfer portal again.
ADD. Woof. Did y'all talk about Dan?
No, we didn't. I wish we did, pool? Though.
The pool. There was so much wrong in
that. Yeah, there was a lot wrong.
There was so much wrong in that video.
Had to do it in a public pool?
Bro, that's not a public pool. That's the pool on top of the football facility. That's not a public pool. those people are only there to be like they're football related people. You didn't see the stadium in the background. That is.
You think I'm looking at the stadium in the background in that video?
I hope you weren't looking at other things in the background of that video.
What's going on in the main frame of this video?
There's a lot going on in the background of that video as well. There is so much wrong in that Dan Lanning video. And I love Dan. That's my man. That's my man's. I'm a big Dan Lanning guy, but you got to chill, bro. Just say no. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to say no. Worse, jumping into a man's arms or taking your shirt off, jumping into a pool with a 17-year-old in his underwear.
Choose your fighter.
As long as you don't.
Hey, hold on. Cherry on top. Man was wearing camo Crocs and a pair of cargo pants, cargo shorts.
I'm going to say jumping into another man's arms.
Eli, what you need all them pockets for, cuz?
Stacking that cash, man.
What you need all them pockets for, Eli? It's 2025.
He's stowing away some more Bullbound t-shirts, bro.
Crazy.
I think that was all we had on the Cantwell discussion. I think this is a perfect transition, though, for a perspective of Georgia fans. Look, business is business within the college football recruiting world. Players go to different schools all the time. These coaches are still going to be cordial with each other. They're still going to be friends, despite the fact that, you know, Miami stole a recruit from them. But if you're the Georgia fan base, Miami's kind of becoming a public enemy for you. You look at it now. They took Nykar from you. They took Carson Beck, and now they've taken Jackson Cantwell. If you're Miami, if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, you're not necessarily ever going to cross paths with Miami except on the recruiting trail. But there are these teams that you cheer for on the outside. Like everyone, every Georgia fan loves Syracuse. Fran Brown, a bunch of Georgia guys that went there are making names for themselves. Good for Syracuse. On the other hand, it's kind of like Miami's the antithesis of this, it feels like.
Yeah, it is. Now, to be fair, like the Carson Beck one doesn't feel like this just because Nykar was – he was committed to Georgia, and then Miami flips him, and ends up with the Hurricanes. And then the Jackson Cantwell one, you were both in the mix for him heavily. You got the final word in this one, and then Miami ultimately ends up getting him. Whereas Carson Beckett was – ties had been cut at that point. He's off to the NFL. We're good. We're moving forward with Gunner, and then he elects to go to Miami.
To me, it's Texas by a mile. Texas took Arch Manning and Justice
Terry. Yeah, but Texas is a team
and Nick Brooks. Yeah, but I think you probably get Nick Brooks if Texas does.
My point of it is, though, Texas is a team you will cross paths with. Texas is a rival team.
Yeah.
Like the teams like Syracuse.
Jontavious Wyman.
Oh, yeah.
That's who. We were trying to figure out the fourth one. And maybe taken is a wrong term for Carson Beck, but he is a former Georgia quarterback that kind of burned you, to some people believe, that is now on another team. Like, Georgia fans want to see Miami fail now, in my opinion. I think that's kind of the interesting aspect of it. A team that has no connections with Georgia other than that. So it's kind of just an interesting tidbit there.
People love hate watching Miami anyways, though.
Exactly.
People were hate watching Miami all of
last
year.
Oh, I was hate watching Miami last year, dude. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, you were.
We're a deep state.
No, I just put a hex on them.
I can't wait for the season. I can't wait for all those types of things to come out of this show during the season.
Oh, it's going to be another 3 months.
Our anti-Hugh Freeze deep state last year.
We had an anti-Hugh Freeze?
I mean, I was shitting on Hugh Freeze a good minute last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd ever formally established a deep state.
Well, I think it was just a deep hatred.
My battle
deep
with
deep dislike. Shouldn't say hatred.
Our battle with the Kansas Jayhawks.
Ooh.
Still don't know if I've officially kicked that one.
I still love you, Kansas.
Getting the Cravens again.
Yeah, I was about to say, you still Jayhawking?
I get a little jittery thinking about them.
I still love you, Kansas. No one can make me hate you. They'll do something special for us this 1 year. So you've been on the trail a good bit.
I have been.
Have you had any fun recollections or things that you want to share with us, the group?
Yeah, so I put some new things on the board over here. Some future pros. I think this is what I'm going to do from now on. When I go on these trails or when I go on these visits, I'm going to start marking down guys who I think might one day be a pro. And we'll see where it ultimately leads. But let's go to the board right quick and talk about these guys. All right. I think I'm unmuted here. All right, first and foremost, it's a layup. It's a goddamn layup. It's Tyler Atkinson, okay? Up there, if we can get – I don't know which one you're going to
see. I didn't know that's the board.
We might end up getting underneath the show lights up there, which is unfortunate. You don't have to get me. All right, so we got Tyler Atkinson up there. He's a layup. All right, I don't think there's any simulation in the world – where Tyler Atkinson is not an NFL football player for me. I don't foresee it ever happening. I think worst case scenario, like third round draft pick. Okay. I think the only negative you can possibly say about Tyler Atkinson is, well, shit, coach, I don't think he's going to be 6'4", 240.
Dang,
that's
tough. He's only going to be 6'2 and a half, 230.
I don't think I'm going to be 6'4", 240.
Is that good enough for everybody? I think it's good enough for me. Number two on the board, I think he's the best position player in the state of Georgia, not named Tyler Atkinson. It's Jordan Edmonds from Sprayberry. He's the teammate of Keelan Jones, the Georgia commit. Nice shot of the studio bathroom back there for everybody. Let's move over here. A nice shot of the studio bathroom for everybody. But anyways, I think Jordan Edmonds is a pro, okay? I think he's going to be a big-time pro. 6'2 and a half, about 200 pounds right now. Freak athlete. Never in a bad position. Got natural hands as well. Love Jordan Edmonds. I think he's going to be a great shutdown corner for those guys out there at Alabama. If he ends up at Alabama, I think everybody's trying to flip that one, especially Georgia. Number three up there on the board, Chris Booker, the offensive tackle out of Hapeville Charter. Look, I don't know if he's going to be a tackle in college. I don't know if he's going to be a guard in college. I don't know if he's going to be in college. He's a damn pro. That's what he is. He's 6'4 and a half, probably 290 pounds. Reminds me a lot of what I would imagine Warren McClendon felt like in high school.
Mm.
And definitely plays like Warren does in college. Like, just a really, really clean, never in a bad spot, I think, when he gets to the college level kind of kid. And by the way, just scratching the surface that is what he will be as a football player. Now, first underclassman up on the board today.
Mm.
I added him today after seeing him at Lee County. I think Jaden Upshaw is going to be a pro. 2027 wide receiver. I think that's the best 2027 position player, not named LaDainian Guyton, that I've seen so far.
Oof.
That kid is a freak.
That's a big 6'3", praise. 6'3",
200 pounds, catches it really, really well. The releases off the line of scrimmage are good. Every clip I'm going to show you later of, and then I'm going to send all you coaches that are watching right now, that is against a D1 corner. The corner that he's playing against in practice, probably going to end up at Tech, maybe Clemson, somewhere. He's a big-time dude. So, like, I love that kid. All right, here we go. Anything else that I picked up from the trail?
Besides your hatred for Nats.
Oh, the fuck! When did alligators get in, like, just south of Macon? What the fuck is this?
They've always been there, dude.
For real?
Yeah, Brunswick.
And is it true that if ducks are on the pond, gators aren't? Is that true? It's a myth my mama told me. And if it's cap, I need to know.
That might be one of those Bobby Boucher mama myths.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, I've seen geese, like, land in ponds with gators. Like, now they take
just ballsy geese?
I mean, sure. Yeah, or ignorant, but no.
Geese are mean, man. I would imagine they really don't care what's in the water.
You'll see a lot of herons with bodies of water with the gators in the South Georgia area. But, no, I never thought of it, maybe. I don't know if that's a fact, but.
Oh.
Chat saying cap.
I don't know. I don't think, like, if
I'm going to have to talk to my mom after this one.
I don't think ducks, like, fly around and go, wait, there's a gator there. We can't swim in this pond.
I'm going to say, mama. I might lie to her a little bit. Say, mama, I had a gator roll up on me down. I was out here fishing on a pond. A gator roll up on me. Because you told me ducks on pond mean no gators. I damn near lost my leg, mama. What the hell is that?
Did you see the alligator from Happy Gilmore passed away?
Word?
Yeah, 80 years old, I think. Something like that. Anyways, you saw Jordan Smith, Burn the Georgia commit, right?
Yes.
This was his trip.
Yes,
talk about
dude.
That.
That, man, you talking about two, like, holy shit, look at those two freaks on the football field. Jordan Smith and Kayvon Consario, a wide receiver down there in Houston County. That kid's like 6'3", 200 Ooh. Pounds. I mean, he huge, absolutely huge. Jordan Smith, however, that kid, that's a great athlete. Like, I don't know why. I really don't know what he's going to play in college. Because, you know, like, just so happened while I was down there, two Georgia coaches were, James Coley and Dante Williams. When Dante's there and not T-Rob, that tells me they think that kid's going to play corner. That kid's huge. He's like 6'2".
And we kind of talked
200
about
200 pounds.
We kind of talked about that after his commitment. Like, you have three safeties in that class. If you don't think they're at least going to try,
that kid's playing safety.
I'll say, if you don't think they're at least try one of those kids at a different defensive back position, you're crazy.
And we turned his tape on from last year, and he was playing everywhere. He was playing corner. He was playing safety.
He's
also the kick returner as well.
Dude, he's 6'2", 200 pounds, and runs 10.66.
Yeah, I looked up the track times.
He can do whatever he wants. That's what. He can play whatever he wants. Just come play on the field. It doesn't matter. I think you're going to start him out of corner, and maybe if it doesn't work, just move him further back.
Gotcha.
We talked about, too, like Chris Smith was – like they've done this before. Chris Smith was recruited as a corner, made that transition to safety, and obviously flourished there. Was probably one of your better safeties of the last 5 years of the Kirby Smart era. So.
One of my favorite to study, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention earlier in the show that the scavenger hunt is this weekend.
Ooh.
We forgot to mention that during the Jackson Cantwell recruitment.
Do you have any idea what they do on the scavenger? I know it's a scavenger hunt. But
you know who the king jewel of the scavenger is?
Kirby.
Like, yeah, it's Kirby. Find Kirby. Yeah, that's the end goal. You have to find Kirby.
So Kirby.
But the purpose of the scavenger hunt, to all jokes aside, is to ingratiate the kid to campus.
Mm-hmm.
These are the places you're going to have to go while you're here. We're going to make it fun introducing you to these areas.
Yeah, that's cool. Where's some of the, do you know any of the locations that Kirby's been hiding over?
No. Not the beat that I'm grinding on, to be honest.
I'm just wondering, dude.
I'll probably get a list, and that'll be the end of my... Like, man, when I was a young whippersnapper, okay, in this business, I would be running down quotes on visits. Hey, man, how'd it go? And now the bigger recruits nowadays, I just realize it's like this today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, buddy, it's just going to go to the highest bidder or the best relationship. So just figure out who's got that.
Mm.
And that's that.
It takes a lot of the fun out of it, man.
Yeah.
Hey, damn. Momentum building, baby. Not missing a beat.
Facts. You're right. My bad. Do we want to talk about this Bill Connelly comment?
I would love to talk
I saw
about
that kind
Bill
of
Connelly
jump.
Comment.
I saw you kind of jump up in your seat about that earlier. So if
no, I just, it's the thing now. It's the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm going to tell you right now, Georgia fan, listen to this today. The reason you don't have the preseason hype is because it's not that they don't believe in your team. They don't believe in your quarterback.
And
that's what it is, guys. They do not believe in your quarterback. That's it. That's why the big guy that we're jealous of that's got a massive internet show, that's why he ranked Florida ahead of Georgia. It ain't got nothing to do with anything else. He likes DJ Lagway. He doesn't like Gunnar Stockton. It's why Bill Connelly's doing this bullshit. It's why my man Chris Doering did it. It's why they're all doing it.
Shoot, David Pollock did it.
It's why David Pollock did it. They do not believe in Gunnar Stockton. That's what they're telling you every single time. They're just not going to say it.
At this point, though, should they?
No, there's no like confirmed evidence unless you know what this kid is.
And
unless you've been around him and understood why he elevates everybody, you don't get it. You're not going to get it.
And this is we talked about this yesterday of how we felt like that people are misevaluating Gunnar because they don't know yet. And it's only been a game and a half really of seeing Gunnar. And also what Kirby made a great point too of like, I said that Gunnar Stockton was fine during that game and a half. And he was like, you can't sell fine. And that's what the entire preseason buildup is of. You are selling Gunnar Stockton to somebody. Well, you're not going to talk about how quick he is or how fast he is, and you're not going to talk about the arm that he has or how tall he is or how big he is.
How he layers the football.
Yeah, there's not things that you can really sell about Gunnar yet. But then I went in to say of how 4 weeks into the season, you're probably going to have some things that are going to sell people on Gunnar Stockton. But we'll get back to the original point of this segment. I'll go ahead and read you this quote.
He sold me on what he is. Two plays. It was the play on the sideline where I think Shafe hits him on the sideline, and he kind of like stares down at him on his own sideline. The whole sideline erupts, and then I'm willing to die for this shit. Makuba hit.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you are. I know exactly what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that still wins in college football. Like,
absolutely.
I don't need you to be 1-1 projected overall pick at the position.
So the Bill Connelly quote comes from an article, actually, where he ranked in the Power Four conferences the biggest winners of the offseason so far. I want to say Georgia ranked number 6. He had some glowing remarks to say about what Georgia brought in from the transfer portal, but oddly enough, that's where this quote comes from. He says, recruiting will always be strong in Athens, but Smart has never shown interest in mastering the portal. We'll see if that backfires after the loss of about 15 starters. We'll see if loyalty to the offensive coordinator backfires too. The developmental pipeline must continue to produce.
Is this the same ESPN article that said George McIntyre is going to be a great backup for Nico Iamaleama?
No, this is a different article.
It's a different ESPN article?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
continue.
I thought it was interesting, though, to say Smart has never shown much interest in mastering the portal. Georgia has made multiple additions from the transfer portal over the years. There's and two of, one of them helped win them national title in Darian Kendrick, and then Tyke Smith ended up being a tremendous football player for them. Trevor Etienne was huge for Georgia last year. And then, oh, by the way, this offseason they go and sign like four safeties, multiple wide receivers. They get another running back. They get an edge defender. Like, dude, where have you been this entire offseason to say that Georgia and Kirby Smart hasn't mastered the transfer portal?
Also, we've been like the last month.
Yeah.
Also, like the last month. When has becoming a master of the transfer portal been a requirement to be a good coach or a good team in college football? The quote, masters of the portal, the Mike Norvells, the Dave Arandas, the worlds where, you know, hey, we master the portal. We get everything we need. The Deion Sanders of the world.
Did you just make Dave Aranda the head coach of Texas Tech?
No, I'm saying back in his time at Baylor.
Oh, okay. Well, he's still there, but yeah,
he's still kicking it.
He's still kicking it.
So I'm saying Dave Aranda mastered the portal that one year at Baylor when they almost won the Big 12. Like yeah. That was the big up they had from that. My point is like, when did mastering the portal become a necessity to be a successful college team? Ignoring it is what you can't do, and we've talked about this before. We've seen the regression of Dabo Swinney rosters because of his refusal to do so. So much so that he was finally pressured into finally taking a player this year, but. Mastering the portal has never been a necessity. I don't know why this is a knock on Kirby Smart.
It's like a white defensive end for Purdue. Did he?
Something like that, I don't remember.
The best portal strategy, in my opinion, and I think national championships bear this out since the portal started, is to use it as a Band-Aid, not as a crutch.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like we are going into the portal to get needed additions at certain areas where we are deficient.
Plug your
holes.
We're
not leaning on it.
Now, the Georgia Bulldogs are taking more because there are more holes everywhere over every single roster.
I think everybody's up.
I was going to say, Kirby Smart's talked about it. The rosters are thinner than ever across the board. Their depth is lacking. You do have to go and get more players to supplement that. I think, what was it, ahead of the 22 season, they didn't take a single player. It was an in-house team that won the national title. That's not necessarily realistic in this age of college football where the talent is so dispersed. What was the last sentence of that comment, though? Because that's the one where it was.
It was the no shit part. The developmental pipeline has to continue to produce.
That is the most, no duh statement I've ever heard in a college football take. The developmental pipeline.
Sorry to cut you off. How far down in our article was that Georgia piece?
Oh, so the SEC is towards the very last conference that they go through.
You know why I asked, right?
Why?
You've written these 6,000. Now, not for me, you haven't. But you've written these 6,000 word pieces.
Yeah.
By the time you get to word 4,500, man, you're just slapping shit. You're just slapping shit on the wall. I'm not saying I would ever do that. Sure. Because I don't write 6,000 word pieces. I did in college. And guess what? About midway through, buddy, we feed up coasting. Mm-hmm. That's feed up coasting writing right there. That's what that is, in my opinion.
Well, it's a dang shame that I took the time to read through your article, Mr. Connolly.
Well, not only that.
Expose you.
Not just that. Like,
you like how I knew it was at the back end of that article?
Yeah. Almost like we're content creators.
Yeah.
It's true.
Multiple platforms.
Almost like I know the business.
Speaking of content, we have some spins for you if you'd like.
What?
The spins.
That's right.
Talk them.
Your first board spin in what? A week?
A minute. I think I left my microphone unmuted.
Uh-oh.
I always like to see how much sun I got when I first come back on camera. It's a lot. My wife would be proud, though. I've been wearing my sunscreen.
Good.
Protect that good SPF.
Man. Ooh, who's that bulldog?
Who's
that bulldog?
Is this a new spin on nostalgia tape?
We did this before, I think, actually, where I give you some hints, 5 hints, and you have to name who the bulldog is. All right, this Georgia Bulldog started at linebacker during the 2018 season. Was that you were not covering them at that point, were you?
No, I was. That was the last year I wasn't.
All right, so you probably will not get this. So, Jay Will, it's up to you then. He was a 3-star prospect in the 2015 recruiting class. He's from the state of Florida. He wore number 44. Do you have a guess yet?
Juwan Taylor.
Hey, look at that. I didn't even have to give the final hint.
I would have never gotten that.
Juwan Taylor, best known for picking up DeAndre Baker's fumble on the interception in the South Carolina game.
I had a linebacker out there running around at 44?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. He was a big-time legacy guy. Or not legacy guy, but veteran player.
Interessante.
Waited all year to start and finally got UGA trivia time.
Oh, man. Am I going to miss this too?
I don't know. This one's interesting. All right.
I forgot to mute the board.
It's okay.
It's okay. Which of these three teams have scored the most touchdown against Georgia in the last 10 years? Clemson, Baylor, or Arkansas?
Scored the most touchdowns?
Which of these three teams have scored the most touchdowns right. against Georgia in the last 10 years? Clemson, Baylor, Arkansas.
So here's the deal. He threw Baylor in there because it's Baylor. They've only played Baylor once.
In the last 10 years, yes.
And it would be like a staggering stat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They've only played him once. It has to be Baylor.
Clemson and who?
Arkansas.
Which they play – I mean, they put him a bunch over the last decade.
And Clemson's
only scored 3 points in the last 2 games.
No, 10 years now no longer covers the 2 games that they played. So those are high-scoring games.
Final answer here is Baylor.
Yeah, it's got to be Baylor.
It was, in fact, Baylor. Stats are Baylor scored 2 touchdowns against Georgia last 10 years. Arkansas has scored 1. Clemson has not scored a touchdown against Georgia since the 2014 season opener.
2 years ago, it's Clemson by a landslide.
Correct. Clemson scored.
Bro, who pays money to be this negative? I love it. Thank you. My next gas station stop when I grab a Powerade Zero going to be on B. Schaefer. UGA don't want to spend money and doesn't have a winning quarterback. They are done. Just spent a bunch of money on a 5-star quarterback.
I think it's a satirical.
He's a troll?
I think it's
Gotta be.
B. Schaefer chimes in a good bit and is pretty regular
watcher.
Yeah,
B. Schaefer's an OG.
OG. He's
a ball knower.
Right,
I don't think B. Schaefer.
He's just showing love to us.
Is that one of those situations where you can't understand sarcasm through text sometimes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Is B. Schaefer my guy that's always like watching the show while playing video games while supposed to be watching his daughter? Is that him? Oh. Y'all seen that guy in there?
Yeah.
That guy's like my hero. Like, you're able to do all of that and watch your child and your wife not get on to you? Teach me. Put me on game, cuz.
Having the freedom of a man while also being a good dad and a good husband? Man.
Is it all possible?
Apparently.
Can you have it all?
Life is worth it.
All right, this probably won't be – we can still do it with you. Projecting the freshman wide receiver class for 2025. So, obviously, there's a bunch of guys. We also threw the tight ends in there, Elias Williams and Ethan Barber, just kind of projecting how their 2025 season will go. Starting off with C.J. Watt, do you have anything you want to add for that, or do you want us to go first?
No, for some reason, my brain just reminded me the confirmation I've heard about the Austin Simmons kid out of Ole Miss.
And what was that?
He's a dude. They took those quarterbacks because Lane Kiffin's Lane Kiffin.
I was right, dude. I said the whole time. I was like,
I talked to may or may not have talked to a position coach at Ole Miss on the trail, and I had to ask him after chatting him up for a good minute, giving him the goods. You got to go see this kid. Got to go see this guy. This guy's a dude. This guy's like, wait a minute, you know ball? I'm like, yeah, I do. That's it's the same exact conversation every single time. And after that, I was like, all right, I got to ask you a question. Why y'all taking so many cues? Is it because Austin Simmons ain't a dude? And he's like, other way around. I could go into Lane's office and say, Lane, if I don't have 2 more bodies, I'm not going to be able to play this year. And he'll say, tough shit, we're taking quarterbacks. Tough shit, we're taking quarterbacks.
I mean, that makes sense, honestly. Like, he's done this before. He took Spencer Sanders when he had Jackson Dart. Like, he's always been one to, like, have a body full of quarterback or quarterback room full of bodies. So it makes sense that why he did that. I don't think it was an indictment on who Austin Simmons was as a player.
Also, local hour nug. The Jordan Smith kid we talked about, I think he's going to start a corner and then maybe transition back. They're going to take a lot of safeties in this class. They already got 2 signed up, you know, maybe a 3rd if you want to include Jordan Simmons, right? The Zach Fort kid.
Is it Zach or Zach?
It's Zach. They pronounce it Zach. I don't know if it's Zach. We're going to pronounce it Zach as long as they do. Keelan Jones from Sprayberry as well. I think they're going to take a couple more. Reason being, a lot of draft-eligible safeties in their room right now. Now, you look at the room, and it's like KJ's coming back for another one. But if Zion Branch plays well this year, he's got a chance to go to the league.
Yep.
Ja'Cory Thomas is running out of eligibility. All right? So there's like a couple of guys in that room. Adrian Maddox is running out of eligibility, right? And has a draftable grade. He played well at UAB, was an All-American at Alabama State. Like, he's got career.
Jaden Harris.
Not so much. Got another year of eligibility after this. I think last year was his first year at Miami. So he's guaranteed to be back in 2026. So that's why you're going to see them, I think, add – even more bodies in that.
Makes sense. Since we're doing that, what do you think caused? Because we saw them kind of have like it didn't feel, it wasn't necessarily this, but it did feel like there was a moment in the building this year where I was like, oh shit, we need to go get safeties. Dude, what led to that?
Okay, missed on Major Burns. Now I know his eligibility's out, but Justin Rhett didn't work out.
Nope.
Isn't there a Darren Branch in there somewhere? Didn't he retire from football? Come from like from New Orleans, came back, moved. There's a branch in there.
I know that David Daniel. I think it's
Darren
retired.
Branch. David Daniel didn't work out. So we're at four bodies right now that were supposed to play safety for them that aren't on the roster anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happens quick, guys.
Yeah.
Just like it happened really, really quick at Edge. It happens really, really quick.
It just felt
it
like.
It was Darren Branch. I can almost 100% bet on it.
It just felt like you went from in 2023 being like, man, they are loaded at this safety room. You got Javon Bush, you got Tyke Smith, Malachi Starks, even Dan Jackson can go in there and play well. And then it was 2020, you're going into 2025, and it's like, oh man, we need some safety. So, and you're seeing that in the recruiting trail as much this year as well, where they went and got a lot of transfers 2025, and now they're getting more safety buys in 2026. So it was just interesting to wonder, you know, how does that come about?
Well, then next year you're gonna probably be saying the same thing of, wow, it's so crowded at safety, because you're gonna get one more year of KJ Bolden, and then you're also gonna have Todd Robinson going into his second year. They also have Jalen Morgan at safety, and then they're gonna add in whoever they add in from this class. Like, man, we got all kinds of safeties in this group now. So as quick as it goes, it can quickly reappear as well.
Exactly. All right, back to what we were originally going to do, which is the freshman projection for the wide receiver class of 2026. There's a couple of guys on there that we're going to list. Starting off with C.J. Wiley, who I think is probably going to be the freshman who gets the most touches, most targets this year. Obviously, it's hard to see the field as a true freshman. We've talked about that before, unless you are a Brock Bowers or a guy like that.
I think the pathway to getting on the field at Z is quicker for Taylen Taylor than X for C.J. Wiley.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way I see it.
I would agree with that, actually. I just, my question would be is,
like, they're going to start Landon Humphreys at Z, aren't they? Or are they going to start Dylan Bell?
Well, so
is it going to be Noah Thomas, Dylan Bell, or Zachariah Branch?
That's what I was going to say. Like, you would have to imagine Noah Thomas and Colby Young are on the field at the same time throughout the majority of the season. If they're not, it's going to either be Dylan Bell or Landon Humphreys.
Yeah. So that's the question. Are you going to be two bigs at X and Z, or are you going to play? Are you going to rotate the two big X's and play Dylan Bell and Landon Humphreys at Z? That's the question for me, because you just talked about it's assumed they're going to play Noah and Colby together. I don't assume that. I don't know that to be the case. They didn't do that this spring.
Yeah.
Well, Noah got hurt first drive.
I know, but even in that first drive, they were rotating those two dudes at X with Dylan Bell on the field and Landon Humphreys on the field and Zachariah Branch on the field. So it's just I'm with you. I would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I would play it that way.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about that on this network. Because of Gunner's skill sets and because of the deep ball accuracy and because of his ability to, like, locate liners on those 50-50 back shoulder balls, I'd play a big two. I'd play Colby Young and Noah Thomas together. I just don't know if they're going to do that consistently.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, what you have to consider as well is you may not want to – it may not start out that way where it's Colby and Noah playing together, because Noah got here in January and was kind of ramping himself up throughout the spring. So it may take some time. It may be halfway through the season before you really see those two guys being your starters. And it also would depend on how productive is London for you, how productive is Dylan for you, Zachariah Branch, this, that, and the other. But I do agree with Brooks that Talon Taylor's playing time is a little more expedited than
just
CJ's.
Just the pathway to it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, CJ's ceilings as a player is much, much higher.
Mm-hmm.
He's got potential to be, like, a first-round, high first-round caliber talent. Talon's floor is a lot higher for me as a football player. I just think he's way cleaner right now.
Mm-hmm.
From a route-running perspective, from a hands perspective, from just, like, a well-roundedness perspective, I think he's much closer to being ready to play.
Regardless, though, I do think it's safe to say that those are going to be, if there are freshmen that touch the field this year, those are going to be the two. I think
you might see some Landon Roldan on special teams.
Oh, we forgot him.
Forgot
on
Landon
the list.
Roldan.
We're going to put him on the list.
Might see him hunting, maybe.
Is there a possibility, and we're going to do it because that is what the comp is, but where we do see a Ladd McConkey where it's like, wait, where did this kid come from? Who is
Well,
this?
Ladd was a year two.
Yeah. Redshirt
freshman.
Yeah.
That's when he started to push Jermaine Burton out. So I think that's probably the path.
So we're gonna,
man, this, like, guys, Anthony Evans didn't get burned in this room last year.
Yeah.
Now.
You know? Like,
and Zachariah Branch was.
And it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's cuidado on
that. That's part of the reason why I wanted to do this segment is to kind of, like, again, it's great that Georgia got this freshman wide receiver group and it's really exciting and you think they're going to be great players, but setting the expectations for year one. likely isn't going to meet some of the expectations that have been set on these
kids.
I mean,
the best thing that can happen is that Noah Thomas, Colby Young, and Zachariah Branch all play like top 64 selections. You throw for 4,000 yards this year, they leave. Next year, C.J. Weiland, Taylen Taylor, and Zakovy White take the fuck over.
Yep.
That's the best case scenario for the University of Georgia.
Absolutely.
Anything else would be a lesser than simulation.
Just to kind of because I think I had this right, that Thomas Blackshear is getting to campus in the summer, right?
Correct.
He was not there in the spring. And then Tyler Williams battling back from a foot injury that he told everybody himself. Self-reported for the first time ever.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, he's a real one.
All of you. Y'all want to self-report, go right on. We'll re-report y'all on Instagram. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'd rather credit you than an op.
Credit to the player himself. Let's get into the tight ends a little bit because I had someone ask me in my DMs the other day if Ethan Barber would be an option at X. And all I really didn't understand.
That person watched way too much Milton High School football last year.
Okay.
Way too much. Because he did play – he played outside receiver in high school.
Yeah.
And it looked like he could – and he routed up high school corners and he can get separation. He's that good of a route runner.
Mm-hmm.
He's an H. He's a move tight end.
The way I answered it was, if you are going to move somebody around, it is going to be him, obviously. Like, mm-hmm. He has the ability to move around to other spots, but you have enough names at X anyways where you don't have to do that.
And if they're tight, if they're putting a tight end at X, it's inside the 20, and it's going to be Elias Williams. They're mm-hmm. going to do a back shoulder fade type thing. They did that. Do y'all remember them flirting with that with Darnell during a spring game
mm-hmm.
and then never ran it?
Yeah.
They did it once in SEC Championship 2021.
Okay. It didn't work.
No, I scored a touchdown.
Okay, so I missed it. That wasn't a tight end pop pass back into the end zone.
It might have been. I thought
that was a leak down the middle of the field. I'm talking about let's put three wide receivers to the boundary. Let's put big ass Darnell out there by himself and let's throw him a goal line fade.
I'm thinking of the first touchdown in the SEC Championship of 2021 where he might have been lined up at tight end where they threw it and he literally just rebounded it off the guy's head.
Yeah, I thought that was over on linebacker in the box.
Yeah, correct. It was.
Correct.
Because it's middle of the end zone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they did this during a spring game where they split Darnell out. Because you know how I remember this? Because they did it to help sign and hope to sign Pierce Sperlin. Because Pierce Sperlin was this. Pierce Sperlin was this, I'm an ex-receiver, but I'm really a tight end, but I really want to play receiver. Okay, watch what we do with this guy during a spring game. I think they might do – if they were to do that with one of these tight ends, it's Elias. It's not Ethan.
Okay. Hmm. Gotcha.
But I don't think they're doing it with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I am excited about a potential for a Mark Bowman signing, which would be awesome.
Well, is there any avenue where –
you're going to have way more fun, Georgia fans. Sorry, Kirby. You're going to have way more fun watching Mark Bowman, if it happens, than any pancake ever existed from Jackson Cantwell. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Now, I was going to say, is there any avenue for either of these guys to get on the field for their blocking? Like, I know Ethan Barbour's a move tight end. Is Elias
Williams? No, like, Ethan's a scrappy blocker. Got to get big enough to do it at this level. Now, I don't know how much bigger he's going to get. He's already like 230, 235 at like 6'3 and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he gets to 240. Maybe he looks like who is your boy out of Bowling Green?
Oh, Fannin.
Harold Fannin Jr.
Harold Fannin Jr.
Maybe he ends up looking like that, you know? Playing like that. I'm definitely going to play like
just
that.
Just stocky.
But twitchier than that kid.
Yeah.
Way twitchier than that kid. Fannin was like a 4'8 guy at the combine.
He looks like he's running through mud.
Yeah, no, not this. This is different. What were we talking about?
Just freshman.
Ethan Barber and Elias Williams getting on the field early, maybe for their blocking, as Kirby said. You were saying no.
No. Like, Elias, maybe, but – I think they got a lot of ground to make up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Elias just got done playing X, too. Both these kids just got done playing outside wide receiver.
Yeah.
So
everyone wants to be an X.
Plus, you're working in Jaden Riddell first before you're trying to figure out, hey, can we get one of these true freshmen on the field right now?
By the way, sharks in the water on that one. Hey, how's so-and-so doing over there? Coach, I know why you're asking that. Don't ask that question to me. I'm not going to tell you that answer. Oh, why is so-and-so not playing over there? What's going on with that coach? Do not ask me that question. I'm not giving you the answer to that one.
God. I don't know, Coach. Who's that?
Yeah, Coach, I don't even know who you're talking about.
Sorry, I only pay attention to, you know.
I just remember the numbers. I don't know the names.
I'm just a number.
Next time I'm by coach, it looks like shit. not even worth your time, coach. Ooh. Don't even go.
If I was on your no good.
Coach, honestly, wouldn't even worry about tampering with that one.
Honestly,
he's trash.
Probably good you missed the first time. Didn't spend the resources.
Yeah.
Dodged a bullet.
Players
man.
Who will not be trash at Georgia plays this year, though. We're going to rank the top five.
This is our top five of the top five?
No. We didn't go that meta this time around. That's too hard. Top five players that Georgia will face in the 2025 season. So me and Jay will decide to rank who the most difficult players are. Do you want to start from 5 to 1 or go 1 to 5?
Question is Quay Rousseau on either of yours list?
Oh, no.
He's not on my list. We'll
tear the lists up, boys.
I will then make
you can make
list.
Your own list.
Tear the fucking list up.
That's
I knew I was forgetting somebody, though. I was trying to think of another defensive player.
The Bama fans that aren't hanging out right now are going to cook y'all's ass.
Hey, that's fine. And I'll admit my mistake. I forgot about Quay Rousseau.
To be fair, he was hurt last year during the game against Georgia, so you probably don't remember a number four going out there balling out, but he's a dude.
I think Georgia fans definitely remember a number four balling out against Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think they definitely remember that one.
Yeah, that's a good call. You do too, by the way.
Whatever.
Did you see that this weekend?
See what?
Oh, but Buddy got crucified.
I caught some smoke, man. Buddy got crucified. That's with the wrong people.
Oh, you told me about this.
We briefly talked about it yesterday because
I thought everybody
was kind of on the same page.
I've been there. I thought so too. I talked about it with you yesterday. I thought Bama fans were on the this guy sucks train too. But maybe when he's gone, they're still defensive about the guy.
Maybe they just haven't watched him play in so long because, as I told Kirby and our audience yesterday, I did have someone in my mentions say that Jalen Milroe has a higher ceiling than Travis Hunter.
Interesting.
So.
I had a football coach in high school, Coach Ross. Shout out to Coach Ross. Used to tell me that if someone tells you that you have potential – it only means that you suck now.
Boy, if that ain't true, man.
That is very true.
That's the Jalen Milroe quote.
I was just trying to say, man, hey, don't fall for the routes on air trick that everybody's doing right now. I mean, every NFL team's
your
doing
boy,
right now.
Your boy Kirk Benkert was out here saying that it's because they got specially aged balls.
Excuse me?
Yeah, got extra tacky balls up there in Seattle. Help it jump out. You get a tacky ball, help it jump out.
I can't. I can't with that.
Why are you saying my boy Benkert?
That's your man's.
No, it's not.
That's your man's.
I did not jump on the train that Xavier Restrepo was the next Ladd McConkey / Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, let's just grab all the great wide receivers and comp them to a Hispanic.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
You want to do our top five?
483.
I say we build up. Like we do right. Anything else.
Start at number five?
Yeah, start at number five.
You got
five.
It, Jay Will.
Oh, you want me to go first? All right, number five, Cam Coleman, Auburn wide receiver. I like me some Cam Coleman. He was really good for Auburn last year as a true freshman. Get 2 more years of him. The biggest thing for him, though, this year is having better quarterback play. And I don't know if Jackson Arnold is going to be the solution to that problem for you, but I do know this. They're going to get him the ball. They're going to force feed him the ball, and he's going to put up some really good numbers. Everybody wants to talk about the other Alabama wide receiver or the other wide receiver from the state of Alabama, Cam Coleman. That's who I'm buying in.
Can't believe I'm doing this at number five, but it feels like at some point you have to buy into the hype just a little bit. I'm putting Arch Manning at five. And you can tell how clearly excited I am by the tone of my voice, how much I believe in that.
I thought that was your normal juice right there.
No, not normal. I don't love having Arch Manning at five, but at the same point, if you don't put him on this list and he turns out to be 75% of what the entire world tries to make it out to be, you will look like an idiot. So this is an insurance placement of number five, Arch Manning.
He's number four for me. Okay. I mean, he's definitely one of the better quarterbacks that Georgia is going to play this year. And I know what he looked like against Georgia last year, but it was a very small sample size. And I know that the better sample size that we've seen from Arch Manning is against some lesser than teams. It's not exactly the cream of the crop in the SEC, but everything points to this working out for him and him being a success. Very rarely do you see a quarterback kind of just flame out with Steve Sarkisian, especially with a guy of this caliber. So I have Arch Manning at number four. I don't think it's crazy to have him on the list.
Okay, at number four, I have a guy who, again, is kind of getting a lot of hype around his name, but has a little bit more of a sample size, DJ Lagway. I think he gave Georgia a little bit of problems there, so I have him at number four.
This is interesting because I, too, have DJ Lagway ahead of Arch Manning on this, but my reasoning behind this is I think DJ Lagway's ability – is typically the abilities that he, or the traits that he has best of being this bigger quarterback, a physical quarterback that can throw the piss out of the football, hit deep shots and explosives. That's been what has killed Georgia over the years. If you got a quarterback that can break out of the pocket, extend, and hit some deep shots down the field, you're going to be in trouble that day, or that has put Georgia in trouble in previous games, and he kind of showed that against Georgia last year before he got hurt. So because of what he does best, I think it's a tougher opponent for Georgia than Arch Manning is.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Number three, I have Cam Coleman. There's always these receivers that kind of have, you know, big names. They either boom or bust against Georgia. Cam Coleman could be one of these guys that booms. We've talked about before, there have been some big-name receivers that go into a Georgia defense and get shut down. There have been some big-name receivers that go into a Georgia defense and absolutely light up. Cam Coleman's one to pay attention to this year in Auburn, in Jordan-Hare. I mean, it could be ugly for them. I don't know why I just had a stroke in the middle of that sentence.
That's why I looked up.
This is all good.
I went with Ryan Williams as my number two player on this list. His most famous play is against Georgia, but again, I mean, it's just a fact. I think he is the best wide receiver.
Most famous plays.
Two of
them? I think. The
tip
pirouette over Malachi was nuts. Luck. Sorry.
Luck.
I mean to pick scabs.
Luck.
Moving on anyways, I think he is the best wide receiver in this conference. So.
All right, well, I'm looking for a fifth right now. But I got four names that were left off y'all's list.
Hold on, I still got one more slot.
Yours. I guarantee you don't have either of these names. Go ahead.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
My number one player, Anthony Hill from Texas.
Shit.
He was my number two player. Ryan Williams was my number one player.
Okay.
Yeah, Anthony Hill is, in my opinion, the toughest opponent or toughest player Georgia played.
Honorable mention I want to put on there, but I ended up not doing it. Keldrick Falk.
Yeah, Auburn edge rusher. Really
That's a good,
good.
One. That's a good call.
Saw him for the first time when he was 14 years old at a Dex Preps camp, and he looked like that.
That's terrifying.
Like that. He was 14 years old, didn't have a single piece of facial hair on him, and was already 6'5", 230 pounds.
Life is unfair sometimes.
Birmingham, what you talk about, stretch?
Life's unfair.
Dude, aren't you like 6'6"?
I was about to say, got born on second base, couldn't run to third, talking about ain't life fair.
I mean, I've never
couldn't give me a few three more inches, man.
So it would be 6'9", huh?
3 more inches would be two.
Oh, yeah, that too, but
3 more inches is crazy.
Quay Rousseau, Colin Simmons needs a shout here.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Simmons needs a shout here. How about Boo Carter?
Ooh. He was on this.
An ooh for Boo. I like that, boys. I got you.
I forgot about him.
I got Boo Carter with at least 5 interceptions this year. At least. And maybe a tut or two, you know? Supposed to be playing offense a little bit.
I mean, he's
going to have to.
He's basically the focal point in almost everything they have right now.
I mean, to be honest, they're going to need to Travis Hunter, that dude. I don't mean to laugh at Tennessee fans right now, but they might have to Tennessee or Travis Hunter, that guy. Tennessee Hunter. Might have to do it.
Tennessee Hunter.
Boo Carter's overhyped, sir.
Oh, no.
Sir, with all due respect.
No.
Turn the tape on.
I think Boo Carter's just on a relatively short.
Not only do we disagree, but Tennessee also very much so disagrees because that guy threatened to leave, and they did everything in their power to make sure that Boo Carter stays at Tennessee.
Yeah.
He's a really good football player.
Yeah.
Oh, we have two more wheel spins for you if you'd like to close out the show in that fashion.
Oh. Man, I feel like.
Or a doom scroll.
I'm not doing scrolling.
Daily
I'm just,
scrolling.
Either one.
I'm just thinking there's something. There's got to be something I can give you here.
From the trail or what?
Yeah. Oh, tomorrow's a big one.
Where are you going tomorrow?
Tomorrow there's a jamboree at New Manchester High School.
They're doing jamborees already?
Yeah, big time. Big time spring jamboree going on. This one was supposed to be at Georgia State, but apparently Georgia State double booked. I think there's some concert going on, like it's more important than high school football.
I mean, what concert is it? That's very
important. Tell if I know Ricky. Let's see here. Come on, coach. Where's your DM? Right here. Tomorrow, I actually employed my stepfather. I'm having a take your father to work day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I used to go to work with him. I made a joke. I said, I think it'll be a lot more enjoyable than post-hole digging, but you're probably not going to get as many life lessons out of it. But that's okay. We got Carver Columbus and Carver Atlanta tomorrow. So both the Carvers. New Manchester, obviously, Douglas County. Valdosta coming up tomorrow. Ooh. They got a big 6'5", 260-pound defensive end that's blowing up.
Hold up. You're headed to Valdosta tomorrow?
No. They're coming up.
Oh, okay. I was like, shit. Buddy, you were just down there.
Buddy.
If you drove home.
I drove down to Thomas County Central Saturday and then drove back home from basically the state line, drove back home for Mother's Day, and then got in the car Monday morning, drove to Houston County, hung out in Houston County, drove to Colca County, slept in a hotel last night, woke up, might have hit the snooze button on my phone, and then my phone decided it was going to die.
Oh, lovely.
Luckily, I had to go to the bathroom at 6:45, so I only missed like 10 minutes of practice, but then went to Lee County. Drove up from Lee County this morning. Yeah, we're an insane person. We're driving a little bit too much for a couple of interviews, you know, but it is what it is.
For the love of the game.
Business is business.
For the love of the game. That's what it's for. I'm excited about Mount Kylee, though.
So how do they do these gymmeries? Is it like you play a quarter against a team and then they rotate or what?
Play a couple series.
Okay.
Against a team. I think it's like 30-minute blocks. So they'll probably do offense, flip over defense, and then go play the next team.
Is it all varsity or do they throw JV in there too?
I don't know that answer. I would imagine knowing these – well, first of all, a couple of these teams don't really have JVs.
Mm.
But a couple of these coaches would rather – just get good comp, you know?
Yeah.
Good burn. But, yeah, I hope to see about 36 college coaches there. If you're not there tomorrow, I don't know what you're doing. Unless you're going to see some priority target that's out of state, which I know
Hawaii.
Georgia's doing. So there's that.
Not often you get to go to Hawaii on a business expense.
Hawaii. Hawaii would be cool.
Honestly, you might have just gave me an idea.
Oh, lovely.
Ah, shit, I can't afford to go to Hawaii.
That's a long flight,
man. It's a very long flight, dude.
Yeah, no, that ain't happening.
You got to get out of Cali,
have you ever been?
And then you got to fly.
No.
It sucks. The flight almost makes it not worth it. And then you, really? And then you get there, and you're like, oh, all right, I get it.
You can just watch Hawaii 5-0 on your TV. Same thing.
I don't think it's the same, Jabo.
You get all the scenery, the looks. You see how dangerous it is
just
because
watch.
That show's real.
Got to be a big screen, though.
Yeah.
Dude, just watch
IMAX.
Lilo and Stitch.
Gotta get the feel for the waves,
here's
man.
Here's what you do.
Why are you buying an IMAX? I want to go to Hawaii.
But I can't afford to go, so I settle for a flat screen TV.
You
all
buy
right?
a ticket to the nearest movie theater, and you see the live action remake of Lilo and Stitch.
See, I would probably go Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I've actually never watched that one.
I haven't either.
Oh.
I know the plot of it, though, so I was kind of like, eh, I don't need to. I don't enjoy
watching Paul Rudd's character in that movie. You got to watch it just for that.
Okay. All right. I will watch.
I'll add it to my very long list.
Yes, I'll add that to the list of movies I need to watch.
There's a scene where they're out there.
Don't spoil it.
No, it's just this one scene. There's a scene out there where they're just trying to teach him how to surf, and there's like no waves. And Jason Segel's character looks at Paul Rudd and is like, hey, man, what time is it? And Paul Rudd looks down and goes, I don't know, man. Since I moved out here to the islands, man, I just stopped wearing a watch. And Jason Segel's like, oh, that's really cool. Like, time doesn't matter out here to you, huh? And Paul Rudd looks up and goes, nah, man, there's a clock on my phone.
What?
Oh, yeah. Great show. Appreciate you guys for being here. The boys and I probably won't be here Thursday.
Oh,
okay. I'll probably be at a scrimmage until late.
Okay.
So it'll just be us on Thursday.
It'll just be the boys.
That's appreciate either good news or great news for you listeners.
Make sure you hit the thumbs up button on your way out. I love you. Bye.